Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood, a.k.a. Granddad. Yesterday was a great day for UVA Athletics, Jimbo. The football team had just a record day in the signing department. The basketball team won a huge game against Clemson, although no one will call it a classic. And shockwaves are still being felt throughout the Commonwealth, the ACC, and maybe beyond, because even Urban Meyer last night admitted that he didn't know who the Virginia coach was, but he sure did a great job yesterday. Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us tonight.
Just looking at your outline, it looks like we had a Greta Day yesterday. Greta Van Susteren, but anyway, this is Hobbo. That's right, fans, we're back on Thursday night. You thought you were safe until next Wednesday night, but here we are. No, we're delighted to be back. As Frank said, Virginia won. It was ugly, but they did win, so it's better to win ugly than lose ugly. And shortly, we will be joined by a tremendous basketball player in Virginia history, Mr. Lee Raker. Back in those days, it was beautiful basketball, fun to watch, a lot of talent, and we look forward to the day before too long that Tony Bennett's squad will play with that kind of smoothness, silk, talent, all that good stuff. And we'll also be joined later in the program by our friend from the Sabre, Chris Horn, kind of recapping the good news of yesterday's recruiting. And also Board of Visitors member Sid Dorsey will join us at the bottom of the hour just to give us a quick update on the Ridley Scholarship event to be held here in Richmond later this month. And now we are joined by Michael Tusky again tonight to give us the ways that you can follow the show.
Well, here at Who's Talking, we encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Each of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on the Facebook. Just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. As always, your questions and comments are welcome. Just call 345-0910.
Yeah, we got Greta, we got a ham, we got it all going tonight. You know, but if you want to call in and be a ham, go right ahead. We need the entertainment. All right, Frank, as we said, Virginia with a very ugly win last night, 49-47. But the Wahoos stay above 500, 12-10, 3-5 in the ACC. So we're at the halfway point in the league. Eight games to go, all in the conference, beginning this Saturday at 2 o'clock when the Cavs travel down to Coral Gables to play the Miami Hurricane. And then they're off until the following Saturday with another road game back in Florida, North Florida, in Tallahassee against Florida State. Florida State, I got three teams in the NCAA tournament at the moment from the ACC. Now, that could change in the second half of the season, but right now Duke, Carolina, and Florida State, in my view, are the only three teams that are going to be dancing in March, but we'll see what happens in the second half. Hey, right, we'll discuss, I guess, tonight, Tony Bennett's potential game plan against the Hurricanes, and we'll have Lee Raker on the phone momentarily. So as Michael Tusky said, if you want to call in and ask Lee your question, 345-0910.
Or us. Last night's box score, high marks for Mustafa Farrakhan. Kudos to Sammy Zaglinski for hanging in there. He's playing with a bad leg, bad hip, bad knee. He's a tough guy. Got to give Asan Sen credit for making a big free throw and not completely gagging with everybody in the building looking at him, wondering why he had to shoot the free throw.
Now, that was crazy. You do realize that was his only point of the night.
I understand, but it was a big one. We'll take it. By the same token, Asan had four blocks last night, which by any measure, that was pretty important because those Tigers were jumping all around the basket and they needed some help. A little mystified by some of the shooting and some of the minutes. A little surprised that Akil Mitchell only got 14 minutes and KT Harrell only got 13 minutes, and do not understand that at all. I don't get it. Those guys need more minutes. And suffice to say, I guess we have a caller.
Yeah, the phone does ring.
That's a heck of a phone ring.
Well, here's the story, Mr. Maloney. If you would have told me that Virginia scored 20 points in the second half, they were 0-for-9 outside the three-point line in the second half.
Yeah.
They committed 15 turnovers on the night. And you would have told me that they won under those circumstances, I would have been shocked. So that was a W that they were fortunate to get.
All right. I think we've got Bill on the line. Bill, do you have a question? Bill,
hey,
are you there?
Yeah. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing great. What question or comment do you have, sir?
Just a quick question. I heard on Wes's show a little while ago that Billy Barron is no longer with the team.
That is actually correct. We just got that message just a few minutes ago. That's true.
So he's not practicing with them, so his season is basically over?
Yes, apparently he's going to leave school and go back to Rhode Island where his dad is a coach, and we're a little disappointed that that we're going to lose Billy because he's a great kid. Great kid.
Right. Now, do you think Mike Scott's injury and him getting the medical hardship coming back next year had anything to do with because maybe they're trying to free up a scholarship?
No, I think what really is the factor here, and I think Hobo would agree, is the fact that Jontel Evans isn't going anywhere, and Sammy's got another year, and who knows what's going to happen. Harrell is playing guard, too.
Yeah, I think it's all about minutes. You know, Billy Barron got an opportunity to play a little bit early in the season, and his playing time really evaporated, particularly as Sammy recovered from the injury. So I think looking down the road with Jontel and Sammy both coming back and all the other guards, Harris, KT Harrell, and other guards coming in next year, he probably just saw that he wasn't going to get a whole lot of minutes looking to the future and just decided, hey, I'd just soon go back to Rhode Island, be with my family, and play for my dad.
Right, I understand that. Okay, guys, enjoy the show.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, so looking at the grand scheme of things, Hobo, as we try to reach Lee Raker, Virginia sits at 3-5, probably should be 4-4 at this point, all things considered. Having the nice lead against Wake, I think they should have still won the game, even though they played some pretty bad defense near the end there. Looking at the next couple of games coming up, we've got two road games. Best case scenario, you beat Miami and probably get spanked against Florida State, barring some changes.
Yeah, Florida State is really tough. They're a good team, and they're particularly good in Tallahassee. So I think Virginia would really have to play above their talent level to win that one. Miami is going to be a challenge because Miami's another team that plays better at home than they do on the road. And of course, they've lost a lot of close games, so they're sitting at 1-6 now. They play Georgia Tech at home tonight, so they could very easily be 2-6. By Saturday afternoon, but still, Miami's a team that, has lost three or four games by 3 or 4 points or less.
Right.
So they're certainly a club that could have a better record if they'd had a couple of breaks here and there. So that's also going to be a challenge. So then after those two road games, Virginia comes home to play Duke, so it doesn't get any easier there. So the second half of the season starts with some challenging games. So from a coaching perspective, you take them one at a time and see what happens.
I understand that we've got Mike on the line, but we're also trying to get a hold of Lee Raker. Is Mike wanted to talk? Go ahead, Mike. Are you there?
Just one comment or two, actually.
Go ahead.
About the time that Harrell was in and the time that Mitchell was in, I think, Harrell comes in and out quite a bit.
Right.
Mitchell, I think, was in for longer stretches, and I noticed a couple things right away. Wow, his height, is probably a great advantage, but he had a couple of turnovers in the second half, and I think they were critical.
Yeah,
they led to Clemson baskets, and it's probably because he was just hype. He needs more playing time. What can you say?
I just think,
I agree.
I agree with the fact that he had those turnovers, but by the same token, every time I've watched him, he is clearly a good athlete. He's smart. He carries a 4.0 GPA, and I know the more minutes he'll get, the more comfortable he'll get. And we need somebody that can jump up on the backboard and get some rebounds because Asan Sen's got a sprained ankle and he's hanging on. Will Sherrill's got a broken leg.
All right, you lost me here.
Yeah.
He got a 4.0 in his first semester?
No, he came into school with a 4.0.
I was about to be impressed if he had a 4.0 in his first semester. You know, that's very impressive. But the problem remains, Ahsan Sen had 1 point in 28 minutes.
Yeah.
Will Sherrill had 2 points in 20 minutes, and Mitchell had 3 points in 14 minutes. So what's that add up to? About 72 of the 200 minutes possible, and that's 6 points between them. So, that given that, it's amazing they won.
I had one other comment or question, actually.
Go ahead.
Was it Mitchell who tapped the ball at the end of the game with the 2.8 seconds left, that tapped the ball back to the Clemson player and ended up throwing it out of bounds, knocked it out of bounds?
You know, I think he was on the sideline there, and I can't remember the exact sequence. I just remember that there was a mishandling and sort of a fumble of the ball, and there were two or three players in close space there. But, his athleticism just appeals to me a great deal.
Yeah, well, I think it was him. He, you know, at least he prevented, or may have prevented, the last attempt by Clemson to shoot a three. So
thank goodness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, thank you all.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, so how about you want to do the lead-in for Lee Raker?
Well, yes, be delighted to. Lee Raker, just a terrific basketball player in the golden era of Virginia basketball, 77-81. Back played on the first Final Four team in 81 with Sampson and Lamp and others. Played on the 1980 NIT championship team, one of two NIT championship teams Virginia's had. And just, I think, Lee is one of Virginia fans' all-time favorites. Just he just played so hard and was just a great contributor to those terrific teams back in the late 70s and in 1980-81. Lee, are you with us?
I am here. Thanks very much for that.
Well, thank you for joining us. How's the weather up there in Boston? I guess a little snow up there?
At least it quit snowing today.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, keep the snow shovel handy.
Yeah, well, you give up on a snow shovel and go for a diesel-powered snowblower if you have one.
Yeah, maybe you should start back in your playing days. Take us back to some of those memories back, maybe the 1981 team that went to the Final Four. That had to be a really exciting year.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I guess one of the things that was more memorable to me was just sort of before, you know, playing in the Final Four, just kind of sitting around talking to everybody you've known for a long time. It's like, going, you know, we remember looking at these guys playing when we were growing up and saying, you know, how neat would that be to play in the Final Four? And, you know, here we are. And, you know, it's not overwhelming, but it's definitely, you know, gets your attention and makes you realize how special it is. And the opportunity just doesn't happen that often.
Well, that was before they started playing in football stadiums. As I recall, that was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia?
That's right. They just tore it down. Makes me feel older than I am.
Well, at least U-Haul is still standing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, they haven't hit me with a wrecking ball yet.
Well, Lee, more than a half dozen people in the last couple of days have commented that they just love the way the PA announcer used to call out your name whenever you scored or had an assist or something. They go, Lee Raker. And everybody has been doing that for the last few days. And I remember back in the winter of 77, we got some snow in Charlottesville, and I remember trekking over to U-Haul and remembering just how much better the team was getting in those years, and then it was just so exciting. And what was it like? You were playing with such excellent players. I mean, Terry Gates, Mr. Elbows, you had Jeff Lamp, who never met a jump shot he didn't like. Of course, Ralph came a couple of years later. Craig Robinson joined in with some serious rebounding, and you had Jeff Jones, who was an excellent ball handler, and Othell and Ricky, and you know, I remember Mike Owens back when you first got there. I mean, you guys had some great, great teammates. What was that like for you?
No, it was great. It was, you know, from the first year we got there till, you know, the last year, it was kind of the changing of attitudes of, you know, heading a different direction, and I think a lot of that is going on now, at least from a distance, it seems that way to me. And, you know, we had a lot of advantages. I mean, you know, Terry and Jeff Lamp and I, we all came from the same system, you know, played together a long time. Jeff Jones came from a similar sort of, you know, basketball kind of thought process. And, you know, when we got there, we had Mark Ivarone and Mike Owens and Steve Castellan, and, you know, had some great, very good, talented players. players and, you know, Dave Kesters, and, you know, we learned from them, and, you know, I think they learned from us as to, you know, a different kind of way of approaching things. And, you know, I think that we just had, you know, there were more of us than just one person trying to change things and, you know, take it all on themselves. So, you know, it was, and then as we went through, you know, we added Othell Wilson, Ricky Stokes, you know, just we added the people that, you know, fit into to what we were all doing. You know,
Lee,
Ralph was an easy one, but, you know, it's all the people that work around and work together that made it a big difference.
Was Coach Holland the lead recruiter on you, or who was involved in your recruitment?
You know, Mike Shuler was, and he actually took the Rice job before I signed and told me that he was leaving, and so that was, he was the primary on me.
And you decided to come to Virginia prior to Jeff Lamp, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we, you know, we had, when Mike Shuler left, you know, they, you know, I actually, you know, suggested our high school coach because that was the, you know, Mike was a lot like my high school coach. So it really made.
I feel sorry for you.
As I look back, it was a really good thing, and it probably wasn't a good thing in a lot of respects. But, you know, he was just a very intense guy and very good basketball mind. And, you know, that's what I grew up in, so I was very comfortable with that. And so, you know, they were talking to the high school coach and Jeff at the same time. He was looking at Indiana, and, you know, I told him he should come and look, if nothing else, just because of, you know, all the things that were going on. And so it just all worked out really well.
All right, Lee, we got to go to break right now. Can you hang with us for a couple of minutes? And
sure,
we'll bring you back on the other side of the break. All right, we're visiting with Lee Raker. We will be back in a few minutes after these messages.
All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood, and we've got Lee Raker with us. Lee, you know, just a couple of questions here. Looking at this year's team, I know you've seen them play, I believe. You know, just what are your general thoughts about some of the new players? I mean, Harris and KT Harrell and some of these guys. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, they're young and they're building. I think their attitude is great. I mean, I love the way that they, you know, are working hard, and that gets you a long way. And they're, you know, they're still getting used to each other, and they're still getting used to, you know, what they're trying to do, and that takes time. And, you know, they're going to be inconsistent, and they're going to be up and down. And, you know, last night I think was a great game for them because they won and they didn't play particularly well. And they played very good defense, and I think that's what I like more than anything else, is their defense is carrying them because their offense is a little sporadic.
Yeah, the one thing I think people forget, and it's overlooked because of you and Lamp and Sampson and others, but Coach Holland was a very, very good defensive coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's where everything started. Your defense creates your offense, and, you know, it was always something that we focused more on than the offense. The offense kind of takes care of itself. But it just takes some time to get used to, you know, the program and the system that you're trying to get in. But they're, you know, as sort of spotty and as ragged as the game was at times last night, I think that was a great game for them because their defense held them in there, even though they weren't playing particularly well in the offensive end.
Yeah, it was a little ugly, but it's I always say it's better to win ugly than lose ugly, that's for sure. But
there's no pictures on the scorecard.
That's right. It's 12-10 on the official record as opposed to 11-11, and that's better. But we talked a little bit about the 81 Final Four, but Frank mentioned off air there, going back to University Hall, do you have a favorite memory or two of some of your home games during your career?
Well, I think they were all pretty unique, just as we, you know, people got caught up in the attitude of winning and, you know, having success and being competitive. And, you know, there were so many, you know, the fire marshal, I don't know how many times he kicked people out for particular games. But, you know, probably the one was when I came back from after taking that fall in Richmond.
Yes.
And, you know, my parents were there, and, you know, it was just really special, the reaction of the crowd. And fans are always great, and that was just really, you know, it's just kind of talking about it, it brings back, you know, sort of the hair on the back of your neck standing.
Yeah, they cheered when I got hurt. That was the problem.
you know, all kidding aside, Hobo, I remember that game at the Times-Dispatch tournament, and I think UVA was playing ODU, and you had a breakaway, and you were going to dunk it, and the ODU player ran up your back with no intent whatsoever to go for the ball. And they and the amazing thing is they didn't throw him and Paul Webb out of the game. They, the coach and the player should have been thrown out. I don't think he got thrown out.
No, and I think, you know, it took me many years to watch it, but even during the whole, I mean, I don't really remember it, but what after I watched it is like it was probably one of the cleaner, just kind of weird plays of the game.
Oh.
I mean, it was kind of a chippy game, and
there
were a lot of square offs and a lot of, you know, not really, really very good things going on, but it was Mark West, as I remember, and we just got tangled on the rim, you know, and he just, he was trailing me, and, you know, just it was just one of those weird things. It wasn't, you know, he didn't try to do anything from what I could see, and so, like I said, I don't remember any of what you're talking about. I don't remember a lot for the last few days, but, you know, it was one of those things. It was just kind of a strange play that was awkward, and but I don't think there was any intent there, at least from what I can tell.
I will tell you, as a fan sitting there right at that end of the court, it was about as violent a looking play as I ever recall. And I remember, the other thing I remember about that game is the ODU cheerleaders had these wooden blocks, and they were pounding the floor with them. And eventually that got outlawed because it made such a racket. And but it was a great game. There were a lot of players in that game that went on to play some in the NBA, if I recall correctly. But
yeah, I mean, they were always very good, and it was always a very competitive game. And they were, you know, obviously an in-state school that was something to prove. And
yeah, Coach Holland gets a lot of credit when in his tenure he was really willing to play other in-state schools. I think that elevated the other programs in the state. And sometimes, you know, we've shied away from that a little bit in recent years, but there were some great rivalries back in those days.
Yeah, no, I think it helps you too. I mean, you're able to, you know, recruit good in-state players and say, you know, we're going to be all over the state, and it doesn't really matter where you live. And I think it's definitely what you said, that it does elevate and promote the other schools as well. And, you know, why shouldn't you, I guess, is my attitude.
Yeah, it's a good way to draw interest in basketball in the state.
Yeah.
Lee, you alluded to something earlier in the call, talking about Terry Holland and Tony Bennett. What similarities do you see between these two coaches, or do you?
The demeanor seems a lot alike on the sidelines.
Hmm.
Terry would get excited at times, as does Tony, it seems like, but not having spent a lot of close-up time. But it just seems that, you know, it's relatively calm and, you know, thoughtful, and doesn't, it doesn't seem to overreact to things. He reacts when he needs to.
It's funny. Terry was a little more energized and emotional early in his career. You know, they always used the term professorial late in his tenure, but early on he could get a little fired up on the sidelines.
Yeah, well, he had times, but it wasn't that often when we played. It was he was more calm than he was.
Well, not when you were there. You were winning all the time. It's like
well, we gave him enough things to be worried about. So.
Well, you guys had such an unusual chemistry on the court. It looked like you guys had known each other forever, and in some cases, as you've already pointed out, that was true. All the Kentucky boys, but just the way the ball moved on the offensive end of the court and. You know, it just made it so exciting to be a student at UVA during that era, as Hobbo likes to say. And we had so much fun cheering for you guys, and we really enjoyed having Jeff Lamp on earlier. Was it this season?
Last year. Stay in touch with some of your teammates, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff and Jeff and Terry, and periodically others along the road, but those guys more often than anybody else.
I know there's going to be a reunion February 19th. Are you going to be able to get back for that?
I'm not going to be able to get here. I've missed the last several, so it always seems to conflict with something.
Well, sorry about that.
It seems to happen at the same time, you know?
Well, listen, we appreciate your joining. We're going to have you back on. I don't think we had enough time to visit with you, and I'm sure there are people out there that would like to call in and ask a question, but we appreciate your sharing a few minutes with us tonight, and look forward to having you back soon.
Well, we appreciate the time, and thanks again. We'll see you. Hopefully see you soon.
Okay. Lee Raker, we'll go to our bottom-of-the-hour break. When we come back, we'll have Board of Visitors member Sid Dorsey to join us about the Ridley Scholarship program coming up in February.